Marie realized how hot she had become in the last couple of minutes. When she glanced up, she saw the fans had stopped spinning. Bloody typical, right when the sun was at its zenith. "Quinn, how are my family?"
"Well," he pulled a sardonic face, "your father's not changed much."
She lifted her glass level with her face.
"Amen. Let's see. Your mother's okay. Your brother-in-law's okay?
Oh, yes, Paula's pregnant."
"Really? God, I'll be an aunt."
"Looks like it." He took a swig of his beer.
"So what are you going to do now?"
"Leave. Get on a starship and go. Some planet where I can start over."
"There was that much gold?" she asked.
"Yeah, that much, and then some."
Marie thought fast, weighing up her options. "I can get you off Lalon by tomorrow afternoon, and not back to Earth either. This is a fresh planet the captain is heading for. Clean air, open spaces, and a rock-solid economy."
"Yeah?"
Quinn brightened considerably.
The overhead fans began to turn again.
"Yes, I have a contact in the ship, but I charge commission for introducing you."
"You really landed on your feet, didn't you?"
"I do okay."
"Marie, there weren't any girls on the boat down the river."
She wasn't sure how he had suddenly got so close. He was pressed up beside her, and his presence was sending fissures of doubt straight through her self-confidence. Something about Quinn was monstrously intimidating, verging on menacing.
"I can help there, I think. I know a place. The girls are clean."
"I don't want a place, Marie. Dear God, seeing you sitting there triggered all those memories I thought I'd put behind me."
"Quinn," she said laconically,
"you think I can help it? You were every Ivet's wet dream back at Aberdale. We'd spent hours talking about you. There'd be fights over who got on the work detail to your homestead. I did. I got it every time. I made bloody sure I did."
"Quinn,
you were everything I could never have, Marie. Damn Christ, I worshipped you. You were perfection, everything that was right and good in the world."
"Don't, Quinn."
Her head was spinning, making her dizzy. What he was saying was crazy. He'd never even noticed her when he walked in the crash dumper. It was so hot, the sweat was running down her back. His arm went round her, making her look into fevered eyes.
"And now, here you are again, my very own idol. Like God gave me a second chance. And I'm not giving up this chance, Marie. Whatever it takes, I want you. I want you, Marie."
Then his lips were on hers. She was shaking against him when he finished the kiss.
"Quinn, no," she mumbled. He tightened his grip, squashing her against him.
His chest felt as though it was carved from rock, every muscle a steel band. She couldn't understand why she wasn't pushing him away. But she wasn't. The thought was inconceivable.
"I'm going to make it so good you're never going to leave me," he said in a frantic whisper. "I'm going to make you see I'm the one for you, that there is no one else in the whole galaxy who can replace me. I'm going to take you from this atrocity of a planet when I go, and we're going to live somewhere sweet and beautiful, where there isn't any jungle and people are happy. And I'm going to buy us a big house, and I'm going to make you pregnant, and our children are going to be so lovely it hurts to look at them. You'll see, Marie. You'll see what true love can bring when you give yourself up to me." There were tears in her eyes at the terrible, wonderful words, words that spoke out every dream she owned. And how could he possibly know? Yet there was only desire and yearning in his face. So maybe, please God, just maybe it was true, because nobody could be so cruel as to lie about such things. They leant together as they stumbled out of the crash dumper, the pair of them drunk with their own brand of desire. The Confederation Navy office on Lalonde was a two-story structure, an oblong box 65 meters broad, 20 deep. The outer walls were blue-silver mirrors, broken by a single black band halfway up, which ran round the entire circumference. The flat roof had 7 satellite uplinks covered by geodesic weather casings that resembled particularly virile bright orange toadstools.
Only 5 of them actually housed communication equipment. The other 2 covered Maser cannon, which provided a short-range defense capability.